Well, good morning, everybody. Y'all, look, I'm down here. So everyone's asked me, Mike, what's wrong with your foot? Well, just get you guys off, get it all out there. I fell off the stage after vacation Bible school and messed my foot up, but we're going to praise God anyways this morning, right? So y'all, please stand except for me, and we're going to worship God this morning with No Sweeter Name. Bow your heads and we open up the prayer. Dear Lord God, I thank you and praise you, Lord. I praise your holy name. You are the way. You sent your son Jesus to provide that sacrifice for us, to bring us back to you. And I thank you for that, Lord. And I thank you for this church body. I thank you for everybody here this morning, God. We can all gather here together and lift up your holy name in praise and worship, God, and hear from you this morning through your holy word and through our pastor this morning. I ask anointing of your Holy Spirit to be upon everything that we say and do this morning, God, that it brings glory and honor to you. And I thank you for it in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. There's really one announcement I want to highlight today, and it is for the mission trip info. If you notice out in the foyer, there's a display out there. If you could help us supply some of those items, it would offset our cost for our mission trip. So if you would take a gander at that when you're way out, we greatly appreciate any help and support that you can give us. Other than that, read your bulletins, okay? Thank you.
All right, thank you, Larry.
Until the veil was torn, the moment that hope was born, and guilt was pardoned once and for all. I'm captivated, but no longer bound by chains.
Voice and lay your burden down, and all of creation.
know, the past few weeks, Pastor Larry's been talking about the Holy Spirit, and I got to thinking about that with this set and the power that comes, that God enables us through the indwelling of His Holy Spirit in us. He gives us that power, and that's kind of what we want to talk about with this next song, the power of God's Spirit in us.
Waters raging at my feet, I can feel the breath of the surrounding me. I can hear the sounds of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken, we will not be overcome. I can walk down this dark and painful road. I can face every fear of the unknown. I can hear all God's children singing out. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. Same power that rose Jesus from the grave. The same power that commands the dead. Yes, we know there are greater things in store. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. Same power that rose Jesus from the grave. Same power that commands a dead to wake. Thanks.
Father God, we just thank you, Father. We can even fathom that that power is in us because you put it there. You place it in each and every one of us who have believed and trust in you as our personal Lord and Savior. So, Lord, let us take this power and use it to your glory for the furtherance of your kingdom. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we pray that you do move powerfully. That you speak to us as you would speak to the mountains. And, Lord, that we would heed and hear your word. We would give ourselves over to your word. We would trust in your word. We would make it an action into our lives each and every single day. Why? Because we are not powerless. There's nothing in this world that we cannot overcome. Because you are here inside of each and every one of us. We are your church. We are your people who are called by your name. So, Lord, we just ask your blessing up on the word today, that as I speak, Lord, that you will speak to us through it. Lord, that you would glorify yourself. Lord, I ask that you not only forgive me of my sins personally, but Lord, you would forgive us all of our sins, that there would be no hindrance for the Holy Spirit to move, but that you would move powerfully, mightily, and Lord, that we will be transformed because of your word. So, Lord, we just put ourselves before you and ask you, Lord, to forgive us. But also, Lord, I'm asking that we would bless you in the giving of our tithes and our offerings, and that you will be honored and glorified, that your gospel can continue to go forward in this world that needs to hear it desperately. So, Lord, if I'm going to say something that is not true, that is not right, I pray in the name of Jesus you would silence my lips, not allow me to speak it, but that you would be glorified in all things, not me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.
Introduce them to you.
Oh, thank you, Larry. Something wrong about this, right?
Yeah. Let me help you, Mike. That's what happens when you get out of line. When you get out of time, yeah. That's funny right there. Well, good morning. Man, where are we all? A lot of us are on vacation, I can tell you that. I know that for a fact. So a lot of people out traveling. So you look a little light this morning, but y'all look light this morning. That's a compliment. So it's just, no, just kidding. I do want to take a minute here, and I know I may get in trouble for this, but I'm going to take a chance anyways. I got to point out Jared Holden. We haven't seen Jared because Jared's in the military. Him and his wife Gabby and his daughter Cicely are here with us today, and I don't understand why Kevin and Pam are smiling from ear to ear. I just don't get it. But listen, welcome, and thank you for coming, and we miss you, Yeah, he was very involved until he moved far, far away and traveled all over the world in the military. But we're glad that you're here, so we hope you enjoy your time here. And I hope that your mom and dad take you out to a lot of nice places to eat and buy you a lot of nice things and, you know, put them on the spot for you. Thank me later, all right? Well, good morning. And before I start this, you see me call Richie over to the front of me this morning. I told him, I said, listen, you need to know something. And he says, what's that? I said, I'm making a statement in my sermon this morning about your Sunday school topic this morning. He looked at me and I said, it's okay. It's all right. So I don't want the Sunday school class to think that I'm saying something in conjunction to your class. I came in and like jumped and hijacked their class for about 2 seconds, and I was really just joking with y'all, just so you know. But I don't want you to think that I'm like pointing you out, because I think Richie handled that text great. All right? All right. Got your Bibles? Say, I got my Bibles, or as Richie would say, your scrolls, or your tablets, or whatever you have. Turn them to John 17, John chapter 17, verse 24. Entitled this sermon is Knowing Jesus, I Will. For several months now, we have been getting to know Jesus in our Knowing Jesus series. First, we looked at the seven I Am statements of Jesus, and that is who Jesus said that he was, right, or who he is. Remember, he is the primary source. He's telling us who he is by his own self, right? And now from that, we move from that to the I Will statements of Jesus Christ, where Jesus tells us what he will do. If you will follow me, this is what I will do. So Jesus told us first who he was, and then now what he would do for us. And now today, you're going to see how you are helped in all of this with the eighth and final I Will statement. And we find this in John chapter 17, verse 24, which you can read with me. It says this, Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. Now, before I start there, does anybody see an I will statement in there? No. Well, before I go any further, I want to explain to you that the word desire that they use there, right? It's right. The word desire there in verse 24, that word desire that's used there, it is much more, listen, it's much more than a casual wish or fleeting preference. You got to go study the word in the original right text to find out what it is, right? You got to go into the Greek to get this. It's more than a casual wish or fleeting preference, because in this verse, the word represents a resolute will, a deep determination, a deep heartfelt loving demand regarding the eternal destiny of his followers. In fact, the King James Version uses the word will rather than desire. But it's the same thing if you go do the word search on it, right? In fact, the King James Version says that the word will rather than desire. So when we read that, we need to read it understanding its meaning. So Jesus isn't just suggesting an idea to the Father. He's not saying, hey, I think it's a good idea. He is asserting a divine decree. And it reveals Jesus' intense loving passion to be united with his people. He's saying that heaven will feel incomplete without their presence with me. Remember, who is he talking to? He's talking to the disciples. He's praying for the disciples, right? Heaven would feel incomplete without their presence. And by the way, we're going to find out he's talking about you too. He's talking about your presence with him as a believer as well. It's what he's talking about there. And this really is an unusual passage. Jesus literally is praying, telling the Father what he wants. He says this is my will for something that I want. Now, we've looked at all of these where Jesus says, I will do this for you, I will do that for you, I'll do this for you, I'll do the other for you, I'll do this and that, right? I will make you fishers of men, I will cleanse you, I will not leave you. But here Jesus is asserting his will, what he desperately wants and what he desires. There's a difference in what this word here means. It's an imperative that I have to have it. It would be like if something happened and I all my clothes got burned up and I don't have any clothes and I'm naked. Don't imagine that, but I'm naked, right? It's when I say I desire to have some clothes. You see, that's a whole different thing than me wanting a new outfit. You get what I'm saying there, right? So this it's a deep, heartfelt desire. It's something that he feels that Jesus feels that he wants. And here in John chapter 17, this is what is known as a high priestly prayer of Jesus Christ. And at this point, he's still in the upper room. Now, we spent a lot of time in the upper room over the last couple of months where Jesus is giving his farewell address to his disciples. He's talking about going away. Remember what he's talking about. He's talking about going away, and they didn't understand it. The disciples, they didn't understand it. They didn't like it for sure because they wanted to go wherever he was going. They wanted to go with him. But Jesus said what? He says, where I'm going, you cannot come. You can't go. They did, and they couldn't grasp that. It didn't register with them. They could not fathom that. What are you talking about? You know? And so there is this anxiety there with the disciples. There's this anxiety, and there is a concern, and there is a lot of there's just a lot of upset, uneasiness in the disciples about what is he fixing to do. What do you mean you're leaving and I can't go with you? What are you going to do? What's happening here? I don't understand it. Where is it going and why can't we go? And so Jesus is talking them through this. So now let me show you something at the end of chapter 16. At the end of chapter 16, verse 33, the very last verse there, Jesus comes and he says this before he prays, right? He comes right before he prays and he says this. And remember this, as he says this, Jesus is concerned about these disciples, and he's going to launch into this prayer that we know is the high priestly prayer of Jesus. But listen to what he says just before he begins to pray for the disciples. Look what he says, 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. Y'all chew on that, and we'll come back next week. Starts out good, right? That in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Right? You're going to have hard times. You're going to have difficulties. You're going to have pains and aches and da-da-da. But be of good cheer. Why? Look what he says. I have overcome the world. So he's leaving them now. He's leaving now, and he wants them to understand, you just need to know this is the way it is. This is what it's going to be. This is what it's going to be like, right? That is the reality of the situation. You're going to have tribulation in the world, but be of good cheer. Some versions say, but take courage. I like that version better. Right? Because I understand that, right? It says, instead of be of good cheer, it says, but take courage. I have overcome the world. Now, he is speaking this prophetically because he hasn't gone to the cross yet. You have to remember this. He's speaking this prophetically because he hasn't gone to the cross yet. He's not even gone to Pilate yet. He's not even been tortured yet. He's still in the upper room. So this is before they go to the Garden of Gethsemane. And this means there's not even been the agony of the Father in prayer yet with the whole sweat drops of blood. That's before any of this. But right here he says, I want you to understand something. He's wanting us to understand something. I want you to understand something. And he's speaking in the future tense, right? He's speaking in the future tense here. You need to catch that. Note, look at that. Notice what he says. Notice, I have already overcome the world. I've already done it. He hasn't gone to the cross. He hadn't done any of that yet, right? He says, I have already overcome the world. As it was as if he was saying, what I'm going to do is so absolute certain that it is if it has already happened. I'm going to the cross. Nothing's going to stop that. For that is why I came. I'm going to the cross. I am going to die. Certainty. I am going to die, and I'm going to be resurrected, and I will rise again. Right? I have already overcome the world, which means you can be sure that I have overcome all this stuff that we go through in this life. There's nothing that Jesus can't identify with you in your life. If you're going through it, he went through it. And he's telling us, look, I overcame it. I've overcome all this stuff that we go through in this life, right? And, personally, and all, I've overcome all this stuff in the world that we will live through in our lifetime, in the world, on the world stage. So as he speaks to his followers, that's what he's doing now. He's speaking with certainty to these disciples, and he launches into this prayer. He launches off of this into this prayer. Now, the first five verses of this prayer, and I can't look at the whole thing, but the first five verses of this prayer is Jesus really praying to the Father about their relationship, all right? And about the glory that he's giving to the glory that he's giving the Father, and about the glory he's asking the Father to give to him, right? And then you pick up in verse 6, and in verse 6, down there through verse 19, he's praying for the disciples. And that's what I want you to see. And I want you to hear him pray for these disciples. Those 11 that are still left, remember, one of them has gone. Judas has gone out. He's been cast out, right? So he's praying for these 11 disciples, and he's concerned about them. Do you know that Jesus has concern for you? You matter to him. As his child of God, as a child of God, you matter to him. So he's concerned about them. Look in verse 15, and he says this to the Father, John 17, 15. Look what he says. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. He's saying this, you know, I don't want you to take them out of the world. I want you to keep them from the evil one. I want you to protect them from the evil one. Look at verse 17. Sanctify them how? How do we get sanctified? Sanctify them by your truth. And what is truth? Your word, this Bible, your word, the Holy Scriptures, your word is truth, right? Now look at verse 20 there. Look at verse 20. He says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Verse 21, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. So now he comes and he's praying for who? That's right, Mike, you said it. He's praying for who? He's praying for us, that's exactly right. He's praying for us. Those who believe in Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. He's praying for you. So Jesus is praying for you. He's praying for me. He's praying for all of us. He's praying for all of those who have come to know the gospel through the witness of these disciples. Now, you've got to get this. Don't let me just go over this and you not get this. He's praying for all of those who have come to know the gospel through the witness of these disciples who've gone out faithfully and shared the gospel with others now for over 20 centuries. I want you to just let that rest on you for a second. That's who he's talking about. And he's praying for those of us, right, including you and I here today as believers. We came under the hearing of the gospel, right, the word of truth, right? We come under the word of truth, the hearing of the gospel who was shared with us. And he's praying for those of us now who are believers who have come to him as Lord and Savior through the witness that started out with him, Jesus Christ. It started out with him and these 12 disciples. Your wood's wet. I'm just telling you. Do you get what's happening here? This prayer is still active to this very day. This gospel is still active to this very day. His witness, your witness, and my witness is still active to this very day. For what? For calling and leading people to Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about you. I said this, now, is that awesome or what? Somebody say amen. Well, that's where we are. Listen, that's where we are. And what he's going to pray for is this. As he prays for us, you right, you and I, as he prays for us, I want you to listen to what he prays for. He's going to pray first for our transformation. He's going to pray for our transformation in this world. And then he will pray for our transition to the next world, right? Just those two things. And I want you to look at, as we finish up this last I will statement of Jesus Christ, where Jesus comes and listen to what he does next. He prays for us, and listen, there's a hope that is there. We're not a people without hope. You understand? We're not a people without hope. There's a hope that is here, or we should have hope out of all of this. And that hope is that there will be unity among us unlike that we see in the world. There should be something special in here that you don't get out there. That's what he's talking about. Look at verse 20. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. And here it is. Look at verse 21. That they all may be one. Now, that's his prayer for us in this world. He is praying that we be one. That's what he wants. He wants us to be one, right? He's praying for unity. He wants us to be one. And then he gives an example for us. Look at it. As you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also, who is they? The all, right? The all. That they also may be one in us, that the world, why? Why do we need to be one in Christ? Why? We have to be one in here so that the world may believe that you sent me. So that little word, that little word that that you see there in the text, well, that word that in the Greek means this. In the Greek means in order that. Sounded like a word salad, didn't it? That little word that you see in the text, that word that in the Greek means in order that. Well, let's dive into this just a little bit right here. Because there are three clauses here that begin with the word, that begin with a word in the Greek pronounced hina. And they are called the hina statements. Hina means in order that. That's what hina means. In order that. So it would read like this in the original language text, right? In order that you, Father, are in me, and I in you, in order that they also may be one in us. This is two ways. We're praying the same thing, by the way. And here's the third. In order that the world may believe that you sent me. So these three clauses that are there are pointing you to what he's praying for. They're saying, they're showing you, this is what Jesus is praying for right here. And he's praying for our unity, and he's praying for us to be one. Now, when I read this, I've got to caution you about something, because he says here that they may all be one. Now, from time to time, you read or people talk about, and it pops up here from time to time, still to this day, I get people people ask me about this, then if this is true, if that's true, then why do we need all these denominations? Why do we need all these denominations? We should just come together as one church. In fact, I've shared this with a brother here not too long ago. I've been asked to join ministerial associations in the past. More than once have I been asked to join ministerial associations. Where and you get to go to them, you go to the meetings, and undoubtedly they come and they want the church denominations to all these different denominations all to get together like once a month or so and have church services together. Or I go to the Catholic Church and preach to them, and then the Nazarene Church comes to preach to me, and the Presbyterian Church goes to the Methodist, and the Methodist goes over here, and that's right. They want us to have, or they want to have this one big massive church service once a month, all everybody together. Now, as I'm saying that, you may think, well, that sounds pretty good. It sounds like a kumbaya moment. That sounds loving. That sounds just like the Christ-like thing to do. We're just to love everybody. Oh, that's true. Is it? Getting together all these denominations and worshiping Christ sounds right. It does. But I want to tell you something. There's a problem with that. Because I've got to know. Well, I want to know why. I've been called as your pastor. I've been called by Christ to preach first, and you have called me as your pastor to lead you spiritually. Is that true? Is that right? Okay. Here's the problem with that. As your pastor, looking out for your best spiritual well-being, I have to know which Christ you're talking about. I have to know that. I don't know about you, but I want to know because I am going to follow the Christ. Let me rephrase that. I am not going to follow the Christ of the Mormons. And I don't want you to do that either. Why? Because that's not true, right? If you know anything about Mormonism, you know that Jesus is the brother of Satan. That's not the Jesus of this word, right, in this book, right? Right? And I've got to know whether or not you're talking about the Jesus of the Quran. Now, I don't know if you've ever read the Quran. I mean, some of you may have read some pieces and bits of it. I know that I'm sure that there has. But Jesus is mentioned in there about a dozen times in the Quran. He's even spoken of as being born of a virgin. They even call him Messiah. They go as far as to call him Jesus, the Son of Mary. But listen to me. They have no concept of what that means. They don't get it. They don't understand it. And Islam says that Christ is a very great prophet. If I end up dead today, y'all know why now. But I ain't going to hold back the truth. Islam says that Christ is a very great prophet who is to come back at the end of time with the 12th Imam. And the 12th Imam, then they say, is a direct descendant of Muhammad who's been magically hidden away. That's not my Jesus. My Jesus is not hidden away. That's not the Jesus of this word. That's not the Jesus of the Word of God. So I've got to know what Jesus we're talking about before we start into all this ecumenical services, right? I've got to know what doctrine you're presenting, right? I need to know what doctrine you believe in. You know there's a big church down in Texas with a pretty famous preacher with a mega church. If you go look up his doctrine, you will not find it. They have no doctrine. It says they have so many backgrounds of so many different people from so many denominations, so many places, that they don't have a doctrine. Let me tell you how I really feel. I've got to know what doctrine you're preaching and teaching. Are you preaching that Jesus is one way to heaven? Is he just one way of many ways to heaven? Or is that what you're preaching? Or this? Well, the only way you can go to heaven is if you're baptized. Is that what you're going to stand up here behind this pulpit and preach to my people? Are you preaching that everyone's going to heaven? Jesus loves us all. He loves all who will repent and turn to him for forgiveness of their sins. I gotta know, what gospel are you preaching? What gospel are you teaching, right? I gotta know. So that's not what, but listen, that's not what Jesus is saying here. How's that for a rabbit, right? That all of these denominations are the same. He's not saying that. That's what I'm trying to say. He's not saying that all denominations are the same. He is definitely not saying that. He's also not saying that we're not to be doctrinal. He's not saying that we're not to be doctrinal. The fact is, we must assuredly should be doctrinally sound. Amen? When you join this church, what do you have to read? The Baptist faith then? That's our doctrine. We want you to know what we believe and why we believe it. We need to be doctrinally sound. And everything that you read there is backed up scripturally. Listen, if we're not doctrinal, I have no idea what God you're talking about. Or what gospel you're teaching. And I have no idea what Jesus you're referring to. So I'm going to pass on the ecumenical services, and I'm going to stay to and with the one I know is truth. Right here. All right? And that's Jesus. Thank you. I don't even have to amen myself now. See, thank you. Thank you. Now, that's part of what I'm trying to teach you right here in this series. Part of what I'm trying to teach you in this whole series of on Jesus Christ, giving you nothing but doctrine of Christology. Christology, meaning this, who is Jesus? Listen, and let me ask you this. Do we really know who the Jesus is that we talk about all the time? Do we really know him? Well, by now I hope you have a good idea, amen? Well, Jesus comes and he says, I'm praying that you will experience a unity the way the Father and I have a oneness among us. Now, what is that? I mean, we've looked at the Trinity over the last couple of weeks, amen? So, what is in the midst of that Trinity? What's in the midst of that Trinity? The text just showed us unity. Jesus says, as Christ says, I are one and one, this, right? So, in this Trinity is unity, and it's a unity of what? It's a unity built on what? It's a unity founded in what? We're going to say Jesus. Yes, that is true. But what is it based in? What is its foundation? What is the unity built up on top of? Love. Just like the love that Father has for the Son has for the Father, and the Holy Spirit has for both of them, and they for the Holy Spirit. It is built on out of love, right? Amen? God is right, and that pure love of unity is expressed how? Remember, love is an action. Love is an action, right? It is expressed how? In righteousness, in holiness, and that's what he's saying right here. He is saying this is a holy God who has come to an unholy, unloving world to demonstrate what? Righteousness and holiness and what genuine love is really all about. The greatest expression of love ever given. Jesus is saying, I'm praying that you will catch that unity in the body of Christ, we, the church, right? We'll catch that unity in the body of Christ, and that you will express that to the rest of the world out there so that the world can see that I'm from God. But oh, when they look into the church. You know, most of the attacks from the church is not from the outside. Where's it from, Roy?
Inside.
Inside. And who's watching? The world, the outside. That's not what he's saying. He's saying this. He says, I want you guys, your experience to be built on from the gospel to salvation. That salvation was exhibited in love and founded in love. That is to be your root base, right? That we would love the world. Why? So that the rest of the world can see. Amen. Understand, there's nothing else like the unity of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And there's nothing else like the love of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There's nothing like it. There's no other holiness. There's no one else who is set apart like they are. There is nothing holy like God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And he says, I want you... And me, he says, I want you to be a part of that. Jesus is praying that. I want you to be a part of that. I want you to have this unity like we have. I want you to be a part of this unity. Now listen to me very carefully. He's not talking about uniformity. We're not part of the cyborg. We're not robots. Although Richie's class may have a bunch of robots in it. Y'all think exactly the same all the time, everything? Every single time. Listen, we're not robots. Thank God. Iron sharpens iron, right? We're not robots. We're not automatons, meaning we're not created to follow a predestined sequence of instructions. We're not programmed, right? We're not programmed like you can program a machine to do the same thing all the time, like on an assembly line. We're not clones. That's not what he's praying for here. He's not praying for a uniformity where we all look alike and we all look alike and we all sound alike and we think alike and we, you know, all these have the exact... That we all have the exact same preferences. That what I like, you must have to like it. First time I got him not to speak. We don't all have the same preferences, right? So he's not talking about it. He's not praying for it. That's not what this is. It's not it right here. You got to get on this. Because we get onto these things and they are a real thing in the church. That's what he's talking about. He says, you know, some people think that in the church you've got to agree on everything, from the flavor of chewing gum to the translation that you read. That we all have to think and have the same opinion about everything all the time. And as long as you think like me, then you're right. But if you don't think like me, you're not right. But if you do think like me, who all here thinks like me? Just somebody raise their hand. Right, you're good. You're good, brother. See, he got it. That's not what this means. Thank God, amen. You can be your own individual. You can be you. Listen, God has created us. God has created you like you are. In who he intends, he's created you in who he intends for you to be. And he intends in who he intends for me to be as well. And that we all strive to live. What? Here's the text. Here's the text. That we all strive to live. Accepting an acceptance to his standard. I don't need to live to Mike's standard. Mike does not need to live to my standard. I don't need to live to Richie's standard. Richie doesn't need to live to mine.
But there's one that we should strive to live to their standard. Is Him. We're all diverse people. You imagine how boring it would be if everybody was like me? You would be miserable. Some of you are Cleveland fans. Listen, I'm very diverse, and that's as far as I'll go with that, all right? But you know, we don't always see things exactly right. We don't see things exactly same. I mean, it's obvious that we don't, because some of you are still Cleveland fans. But that's not what he's talking about here. Boy, I keep telling you what he's not talking about, huh? Why am I talking about this like that, in this manner? Because these are things in the church that are. These are things that are dividing us. Listen, truthfully, we have different backgrounds. I had a classroom with many rooms. John had a classroom with one. I mean, three. We have different graphs. Listen, just to be honest, we have different everything. We're different, diverse people. Remember the sermon I preached one time about Dawn and I, the opposites? Anybody remember that? She's salt, I'm pepper. She's mustard, I'm ketchup. And we went through this whole big list. And at the very last thing, I said, I love Jesus. And she said, I do too. We can be different in everything, but we worship the same God. You getting it now? You seeing what he's saying here? We worship the same God. We worship the same Creator, the same Messiah. We worship through the same gospel of truth according to God's holy word, right? And when we do that, when we are like that and we're worshiping the same God, the same Creator, the same Messiah, investing ourselves in the same gospel, do you know what there can be in your life? Holiness. There's something in you that's set apart from most others. There's a holiness in your life that's also in my life. It's also in Richie's life, in John's life. Right? There can be a love in your life that speaks of Jesus Christ. Right? And there can be a holiness in your life that is also in my life that speaks of the holiness of God. And so he says, look, he says, I'm praying, Father, that they would be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be in us. Why? Why? So that the world will look at them and say, there is nothing else in the world quite like those people over there at Open Door Baptist Church, right? There's nothing in the world quite like those people who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ. There's something about them. They all have it. Oh, there it is. I should say they all have Him. Now let me tell you something, folks. That is not that hard. That's not hard to do today from this culture that we live in. It's not that hard for this culture to be different from this world, to be different from this society that we live in. It's not that difficult to do right now. Let me tell you this. Here in the great state of West Virginia, you're almost in heaven, but not quite. Here in West Virginia, if you just use decent language, you're going to stand out like a sore thumb. Amen? that just in the way you communicate with others, just in the words you use, just the way you talk and how you talk, you're going to stand out and be different. And you're going to come and say, but now wait a minute, preacher, wait, we're not all going to be able to do that. That's just impossible, Pastor, what you're saying, that's just impossible. My question to you, is it? If that's you, then you must be telling me that what Jesus is praying for is impossible. Ooh. And I want to tell you what Jesus is praying for is not impossible. It's probably never just been given a real shot. It's not never been given a real chance. We just don't try hard enough to let Him live through us. It's not that I live like Jesus, it's that... It's not that I live like Jesus, but that Jesus lives in through me. You see this? So that we have this sense of unity among us. And listen and remember, in Christ, all things are possible. Now, I want to say this, and I want to say this about us here at Open Door Baptist Church. And I'm not just blowing smoke at you. I really mean this. I want to say this about us here at Open Door Baptist Church. There's an unusual spirit and move of God in this church. There's a unity that is here. And the fact is, we don't all see things alike. Amen? We don't all see things alike. But there is a unity that is here. There is a place. There is a peace here. There is a love that is here. And it's not that we have arrived, hear me, it's not that we have arrived, right? However, it's something we should strive for. It is something we should work at. It should be an ongoing act in our lives, right? It's something we should nourish, right? Love, right? We should nourish that. It's something that we should promote and strive for in our own personal lives to enhance when we come together here at Open Door Baptist Church. Listen, and I want you to remember this, and I want you to remember it when it comes to me. There ain't a single one of us in this place that are perfect. But I think we come really close to achieving what Jesus has prayed for right here. And even though we think, no, that'll never happen. I don't see that. If you're sitting there, listen, if you're the one who's sitting there thinking that, first of all, remember, you're not perfect either. And remember, this is what Jesus is praying for. Yeah, well, Jesus is praying for that right here. He's praying in this, and He desires this, right, among us. Now listen to what He prays for. Look right here. Listen to what He prays about. He says in verse 22, and the glory which You gave Me, not possible, huh? The glory which You gave Me, I have given them, that they may be one just as We are one. Now, you have to stop and read that again because you don't believe it when you read it. The glory which You gave Me. Now, this is the glory of God Almighty, the sovereign God of all that is and ever will be. That glory that God Almighty has given to God the Son, right? Listen, this is going to be good. Just hang in there. He's given to God the Son, and God the Son says, I have given it to them, meaning who? The disciples, right, and us, that they may be one. So, now, how do we achieve this sense of unity and oneness in the body of Christ? Let me tell you how. It's by displaying the glory of God that was given to Jesus, and that Jesus now has turned around and given to us. It's in us. Jesus said it is. It's in you. Now, here's a loaded question. It's in you. How God is the Father, if God the Father is in the Son, and as the Son is in God the Father, I'm baiting you in this as best as I can. How is it in us through what? The Holy Spirit. Very good. I'm going to happy to answer you. How? Through the God's Holy Spirit, that they, not of your own, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, that they may be one just as we are one. Now you're going to come together, right? Now you're going to come together, the Henoch clause, that they may be one just as we are one. Why? Well, read on. I in them and you in me, in order that, the Henoch clause, in order that they may be made perfect in one, and in order that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved me as you have loved me. He says, that's why. That's why. There's the answer. He says, I want them to experience the fact that I have given them the glory that you gave me. Have you all noticed the fireflies lately? Anybody notice the fireflies? John, you've been sitting out on the porch at night. You notice any fireflies? Yeah, me too. Well, when I sit out on my back deck at night, it's very dark in my back and down in my back, back in the back deck, but down in the backyard near the wood line, if you've ever been to my house, you all know what I'm talking about. If you don't, you're imagining in your head. But I have woods, right? And there's a wood line, and it's very dark out in the back of my house. And you can really see the fireflies. They say they're going to be extinct. Anybody heard that? Yep, they say they're going to be extinct. Why? Because of all the light pollution, right? All the light that's coming. Now, I don't know whether that's true or not, but they are alive and well on Chapman Drive, just so you know. And maybe I've noticed them more this year because of all the talk about their extinction. So let me ask you this. What's the glory of a firefly? What is it? That's its glory, right? He just lights up, doesn't he? That's the glory of a firefly. You know I'm setting you up, right? What's the glory of your life? Is it that you just light up with Jesus? Did you just shine Jesus Christ? You shine Jesus, shine him number what? 579. Which, by the way, she said to tell you hi. Yes, yesterday. It's a song, Shine Jesus Shine. And of course, remember VBS, Illuminate. That we are diffusers of the light of Christ. Well, that's us, or it should be. That's what we should be known as. Our lives should shine the love of Jesus. We should shine his unity that he has with the Father, that we should shine our unity with each other. So what does this look like? Well, that's when you treat your spouse in the way God intends you to live with your spouse. That you're shining the glory of Jesus Christ over your marriage relationship, your family relationship. Are you illuminating the light of Christ in that area? Or how about when you're walking in fellowship with brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ? Are you shining the glory of Jesus Christ in your life? Remember, not a single one of us are perfect. I've told you over and over, it's not when I let you down. It's not if I let you down, it's when I let you down. So in your imperfect life, how do we want God to judge you? Is it like you judge others? Or how about when you're at work or at play, wherever you happen to be, are you modeling the life of Jesus Christ? You know, we just celebrated Father's Day. Dads, are your children seeing you model the life of Christ when you're at home? Moms, same thing. Are you shining the glory of God the Father that was given to the Son that's been given to you? Are you doing that? Is that not amazing to stop and think that God, that the glory that God the Father has, listen, that the glory that God the Father has given to the Son, and the Son turns around and he gives it to every single believer, including you and I, and that we have the opportunity, maybe the better word is privilege, that we have the privilege and the joy to shine, to express the glory of God through our lives. And when we do that, we, all of us, like a field of fireflies at night, all just lighting up. We're all just lighting up, mesmerizing those who pass. We're lighting up with the love of Christ, right? Inside of us and coming out, right? Memorizing those who pass by, those who are watching, they are in awe. Because there's a unity among the people of God. Now let me ask you something. I'll get it for this, but I'm okay with it. You get unity in Christ, and you get unity coming together through Christ. Let me ask you a question. Do you think you're going to get that unity in a Democratic or Republican party? Listen, everybody from every side now is just jumping on everybody else. So you can't get it from the government. You can't get it from all the places we look into in this world. The world's not going to do it. The only place we can get this unity that gives us this ability to shine with the light of Christ is from Jesus Christ himself personally. Amen? Let me ask you this question. I'm going to close. I have another point, but I'm going to close. Do you have that light? Is it in you? You can't give what you don't have. Amen? And here's the thing. God wants you to have it. He wants all of us to have it. And who wouldn't want to live in unity, or at least to strive to live in unity? I make a choice to love some of you. And you make a choice, some of you, to love me. Right? Let's be honest. We're people, right? God chose to love you. He chose to give you his light. I wish I took the time to do the rest of this. I want you to get it. Father, Dad, I just told them they couldn't come with me. But I want them to. I want them to come with me. I want them to be where I am. Daddy, Abba, Abba, Daddy, Daddy, I have a will that's inside of me, Dad. I want them to come where I'm going. And he said that thinking of you. The question is, do you want to go with him? Do you want to go with him? You know how you get to go with him? Come to him for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll be with him for eternity. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I just praise and thank you for all that you do and all that you say and all that you teach us through the power of your word and your Holy Spirit, Lord. I pray that you move mightily. Lord, if there is anyone in this place who does not know you, who has never taken the time to personally ask you into their life, to forgive you, forgive them of their sins, Lord, that you will give them the faith to believe and to trust in you for that very thing, and that they would come to you to develop a relationship, to develop a unity with you that will last for eternity. And Lord Jesus, I pray that there's one in this place that does not know, they will come now to your throne of grace and say, Father God, I come to you knowing that I'm a sinner and that I'm in need of forgiveness of my sins. And I put my faith and my trust in you according to what your word says. And that you will forgive me of my sins and you will save me. I confess you as my Lord and my Savior. And I wish to spend eternity with you beginning today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You come. God. But I have a sense there's someone in here today that you've been wanting to give your life to Christ, but you just never really came. Never just really fully did it. Listen, God's not going to pressure you, and neither am I. But I don't want to pass up an opportunity that God has given you. This is the day, this is the opportunity. If you prayed that prayer with me, or you want to know Jesus as your personal Savior, you asked Him into your life. Listen, I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to point you out. I'm just going to ask you to slip your hand up and say, yeah, I want that. I prayed that. I want that salvation. If you prayed that, I see it. I see it. Anybody else? Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus. You are worthy of it all. May you come up on these who raise their hand, Lord, and you'll put your presence inside of them. You will give them the security of their salvation, that in the name of Jesus, all sin is cast away. And all your glory will be revealed. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you rise up in them in a very powerful way. Amen. Let us sing, church. Let us sing.
Every ounce. Because let me tell you what he's going to give you back is going to be far greater than what you gave him. Amen. Listen, I'm going to point somebody out, and I didn't know, tell them I was going to do it. But Kylie, did God get any glory out of you during VBS? Kylie prayed in my office to give her life to Jesus Christ. Yeah. So that means we're going to start praying for her life, her everyday life, her spiritual life, her physical life, and her walk with Christ, all right? She needs our prayers. Why? Because she's a new believer, and tribulation will come. But our God is greater than he who is in the world. Why? Because he overcame it, amen? Go give him your glory. Thank you for coming. God bless you. You're dismissed.
You are worthy of it all.